1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this description of your love towards us. God, it is an all-encompassing love. It's an unconditional love. And so, Lord, today as we study another aspect of your love, this is just another way that you want to work in our hearts to love others. So God, today I ask for your anointing to be able to preach your word. I pray that the hearers would receive from you, Lord, and that we would not simply be hearers of the word, but doers of it by your grace and your mercy and your empowerment of your spirit. So today, Lord, we worship you and we praise you and we thank you that you, the living God, is going to minister to us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a quick update on Kyle. I talked to him yesterday at 4. He asked me to share, and I said, sure. They survived the storm. They had all of 20 minutes of rain and about a quarter inch. The winds got as high as a strong gust up here, and he said that they had more damage from the people putting up the plywood on the windows than from the storm. Apparently, a piece of plywood slipped and went through a window, and when they were trying to put it up, and he said, other than that, we're fine. So please tell everybody everything went well. There's no issues. Everything was super. So that's the update on Kyle, and that saves everybody because they'll come walking up to one of the elders or someone else. Hey, did you hear anything from Kyle? Yep, that's what we heard. So everything's all good. And he said, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your concern. There are many people that contacted him, and he and Shelley appreciate it. So there you go. Well, I know one of Kyle's favorite movies is The Princess Bride. And you know that there's a guy in there named Fassini who kept saying a certain word. Do you remember what the word was? Inconceivable. And Inigo Montoya responded after he said that numerous times. Do you remember what he responded? I don't think that word means what you think it means. And that's also true about love bears all things. I don't think that means what you think it means. Because we automatically default to what we think that means. We have a picture of it. And it's surprising to see what the meaning of that particular word is in context. First of all, there are four different qualities. We've kind of made it through the love is not, and now we're into the love is. And there are four different qualities of love that are listed in verse 7, and they're all linked by a Greek word named panta, which the English Standard Version renders all things. So that's how it relates, all things. So right here, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So you have a word pick. Okay, this is what it looks like. Now, we have to interpret the all things, which is panta, with limitations. For example, does love believe all things? All things. No. Doesn't believe lies, doesn't believe false doctrine, love doesn't believe all things. So there's a limitation. Did Jesus die for everyone, all, everyone in the entire earth? Well, his sacrifice is available to all who would believe, but if he died for everyone, then could people who never accepted him and received that gift of salvation, were their sins paid for, they shouldn't be going to hell if that's the truth. But instead, he died for all who would receive the gift of salvation. So we look at these words and we say, okay, this is what it says, all things, all things. What does that mean? Well, this particular Greek word that the English Standard Version renders, all things, can also be translated always. Can also be translated always. In other words, this is what love continually does. I like this a little better. NIV says it this way. It, love, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I look at that definition and I like that a little bit better because it's more understandable. I can get my head around that. In other words, there are four things: always possessed, always practiced, and always expected from genuine love. These are things that are always a part of genuine love. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. So that word there, as we read it in English Standard Version, all things, yeah, okay, that's a little harder to understand, but now when we put the word always there, always believes what? What is it? What is it? Selfless love bears all things. Now you have a word picture. What does that look like? It can mean either to come underneath something, lift it up and support it. Okay? Or it can mean to protect by covering. Or to protect by covering. That's what this word can mean, the root word for bears. If it's the first one, which we automatically default to, you know, it's kind of supporting, lifting up something, bears that weight. That's what we picture when we read this. Love bears all things. If it's the first, then it has the same basic meaning as the last characteristic of genuine love. It perseveres. It endures. So that doesn't seem to make sense. A repeated thought here. Some would say that bears means to be related, is related to the intensity of the trial, the things. Remember, now this is written to the Corinthians who were not loving each other. And you can read the book of Corinthians and see all the conflicts they had. So what's happening here is Paul saying this is what love looks like. This is how love displays itself. And so the Corinthians are struggling. They're battling. And so some of it would be, well, it's the intensity of the battles that they're struggling. The intensity of the offenses. And some would say that the word endures means basically the length that you are enduring or are handling that trial. But that doesn't seem to be consistent with the thought here. Is that when you look at the word here in the Greek bears, it's related to an interesting word. And the word is roof. Roof. Love. Roof. Always. The word bear means to roof, R-O-O-F, over. To cover with silence. Now you see what's happening in this verse? Love covers with silence always. It's a sense, this Greek word is a sense of covering or enclosing to keep something undesirable from coming in. That's the word picture of bear always. A covering that protects to keep something undesirable from coming in. That's the picture here that Paul is painting with the words that he's using. And it's a display of what love is. Love protects by covering the sin of the one who hurt you. And this is, as we look in Scripture, we see another picture of this word. Take a look. It's in 1 Peter 4. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. That's the sense. It's actually a different word here, covers and bears. But you get that picture of what Paul is saying here in Corinthians. Love covers a multitude of sins. That's how love is displayed. Now that, for us, is a reflection of God's incredible love towards all believers. The Lord took the initiative to protect us from judgment, righteous judgment, by covering us, by covering our offenses against Him through Christ. You see this word picture. Steve talked about this last week. It was funny. I talked to Steve this week and he said, he started out his sermon and he said, we're off-roading and we're not really talking about 1 Corinthians 13. And I said, Steve, you know, the meaning of the word is really a picture of covering. And you talked about that last week. So what we see is that God doesn't ignore our sins. He doesn't ignore our sins. It's why we needed Christ to die on the cross for our sins. He doesn't ignore them. It's, oh, well, forget it. We'll just cover it over, forget it, whatever. Because God wouldn't be righteous. He wouldn't be holy if He did that. But instead, Christ came. He lived the perfect, sinless life. What God would require from everyone being in heaven with Him, sinlessness, Christ lived for us. And then what happened is Christ went to the cross. And the wrath of God for all the sin of the believers would be poured out on Jesus because of God's holiness and justice. And He would judge that sin. That penalty would be paid by Christ for all believers. And Jesus would take our place, receive what we deserved, and we would have His righteousness imputed to us. And that's the picture of the gospel. This atonement, the gift of God covering. And Steve went back and looked at the Old Testament and how they would take the sins and symbolically put the sins of the people on the sacrifice. And then they would slaughter that animal and it was covered, the blood covered the sin. The payment was made. And that's a picture of what Christ has done for us. He would cover our offenses. And because of this, this is where this verse kind of comes in, and we see a picture of God's love for us, is that because those of us have received the gift of salvation by God's grace and mercy, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Because of Christ's imputed righteousness that covers all believers. There's no condemnation. Take a look at God's word again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You are a new creation if you are a believer today. The Spirit of God dwells within you. And there's something true about you today. It's in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. No condemnation. It's done. It's paid for. We see this beautiful picture of how the Lord God views us as being in Christ and not in sin. That's how He sees us. Remember, a couple of weeks back, we talked about this ledger. And we walk in such a way, so many Christians walk in condemnation because they think God continues to bring back all their sin. Oh, yeah, I remember this. And we talked about how when God views us, He views us through the blood of Christ. He sees us in Christ. And the ledger says what? Imputed righteousness, not the list of all of our sin. And what does the enemy like to do? He likes to keep reminding you of how you have fallen and bring back all your past sin and how unworthy you are, which is true. And God doesn't ignore that. But what does He do? He covers it. He covers it. And He doesn't keep bringing it back up. Keep reminding us and telling the whole world, broadcasting it. He doesn't do that. And that's a picture of what we see here. of how we should love each other. You see this? This beautiful picture of God's grace and mercy poured out towards us. Poured out towards believers. That he sees that he's not ignoring our sin. Our sin has been paid for. It's forgiven. God knows that one of the incredible truths of the gospel is that God knows all the details of your life. He sees all the sin. And yet he still loves us and rejoices over us. That the blood has covered us. And so when we hear this whispering in our ears, I'm not talking about conviction of the Holy Spirit when he convicts us of sin and we repent, but you know, bringing back the old stuff, reminding us, that's not God. Because God has covered our sin. He's covered it. And it's a roof, silence. So if somebody's bringing that back up, if it's not the Lord, it's got to be the enemy. And this is one of the ways that we need to take our thoughts captive. We need to take our thoughts captive. Because the accuser of the brethren will come and he will bring what? Condemnation. And he'll whisper like he's an angel of light. He'll lie. And he'll make it sound or feel like it's God. Oh, you failed again. Just like last week. Just like the last 10 years. See, that's not consistent with the love of God. That's condemnation. It's not a covering of silence. Instead, God rejoices over us because of who we are in Christ. That's the truth of the Scripture. That's the truth of who we are in Christ. That's the record that God has. But the enemy keeps bringing back that old stuff, doesn't he? Isn't that common for us as believers too? In order for us to have true Christ-centered community, we must let love cover another's sin. Cover it. Let it go. Take a look at God's Word again. You see this, and part of the vision of La Crescent Free is that we want to have this Christ-centered community. As it says, we exist to bring glory to God in all things by making disciples through Christ-centered worship, Christ-centered community, Christ-centered service, and Christ-centered multiplication. That's our desire. In order to have that Christ-centered community, there's got to be this love thing happening. And a picture of it is here in Corinthians. And part of that is what we're talking about here, that we would love one another, that we would cover the sins of another, especially those who have offended us and hurt us. But we cover sins. We don't proclaim them. We don't look for other people's faults and then tell other people about them, but rather cover. You could see this reflected in other areas. Again, not ignoring sin, but there's a concern for our brother and sister over ourselves. Look at it in Matthew, the beginning of how do you approach this. If your brother sins against you, okay, we get that. So what should we do? Go and tell him his fault. So you see, there's not an ignoring of sin. Between you and him, where? Alone. You see, that's that covering. You're addressing the sin. You're going to go up to that brother or sister and say, hey, I need to talk to you. And you do it alone. And you bring that place to a place of repentance. And obviously, if there's other people that observed it, you can continue on in Matthew and see how to approach that. But we see this gentleness, this you know what? We're going to approach this. We're not going to deny it. But we're going to love our brother and our sister and to cover that, to be careful, to care about them and their reputation and their character. And so we're going to pull them aside and say, hey, let's talk. I've been hurt. And in 1 Peter 2, verses 22 to 23, he committed no sin. This is a picture of Christ and how we can walk in what he did because the Spirit of God dwells within us. So this gives us hope, not condemnation, not, oh, I failed, but rather this is how I can live through Christ who strengthens me. This honors God. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. So no sin, no deceit in his mouth, yet what happened to him? When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten. but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He trusted in the Lord, God, Father. You know what? Not going to respond. That's a picture of our Jesus, this beautiful Savior and King of ours, who loves us in a way that we just can't get our heads around. And we have a little glimpse of what that, the different facets of that love here in 1 Corinthians 13. Just different areas of how he loves us. That he doesn't bring condemnation. Christ died for us. And now he doesn't bring back our past over and over again. Again, to have Christ-centered community, we must love by covering over another's sin, their faults, their weaknesses. That doesn't mean that we ignore sin in the church. That's unfortunately the problem of many churches. They don't address this sin issue. And we need to understand that God didn't do that with us and doesn't do that. He loves us and addresses that. But here's what it means. Here's what it looks like in a body of Christ filled with broken people that are messed up, including the pastor and the elders. Okay? It's just a church. It's filled with broken people that God is restoring and renewing, but we're not there yet. And with that comes hurt and offenses and things that occur within this body. Some known, some unknown. And so what it looks like is that we will not deliberately expose or emphasize another sin or failures of others for selfish reasons or to hurt them. And I say selfish reasons because sometimes we will expose someone else's sins or faults or shortcomings because we gain something out of it. It might be just simply an emotional lift. If I put them down, I lift myself up. It might be that if I share this or I say this, then I get the benefit over here or somebody won't trust them. So many times the reason we don't cover a sin or an offense of silence with silence is because we can gain something selfishly by proclaiming it. Whether it be just emotional or actually something else that we can gain by sharing that. Or, as I said, just to hurt them. Just to hurt them. We say it because we were offended, we were hurt, and it's our way of getting back at them. And sometimes in the world, they call it gossip. Sometimes in the church, we call it a prayer request. And so there's this sense of covering in silence. As I said, God exposes our sin. But he exposes it not to hurt us, but because he loves us incredibly. And he sees how damaging sin is in our life and how it will destroy us and eat us from the inside out. And so God, in his love, addresses our sin issue. And that's why we as the body need to do that. But we need to do it in a way that is God-honoring. And so God addresses our sin issue because of his love, and he wants our joy to be complete. He is glorified when we are living a life that honors him. And that's where our joy comes from. Living in a way that brings God glory. That's the greatest, best way that you can live. You want your best life now? You want it now? Then live like Jesus. Desire to honor him in all ways. Reflect Christ. So what love does is love always upholds without resentment for any insult, injury, or disappointment inflicted by others. Isn't that a picture of how God is towards us? We still sin. We still struggle. That's injury and offense against the living God. Yet he doesn't take resentment towards us. Instead, he sees us like being as we are in Christ. We've offended him. We hurt him. And he says, you know what? I'm going to cover this. Covered it through Christ. And then he, in his love, convicts us. And we repent and he doesn't bring it up again. It's done. So first, It holds up without resentment, injury done by others. And then it does this. This type of love goes the second mile to protect the other person's reputation. To protect it. Not to tear it down. Not to have people think ill of that person or see their failures or weaknesses. Love instead says, I'm going to protect that person's reputation. Because that's what love does. Love protects and defends the character of others, especially those who have hurt you. That is tough stuff, isn't it? Wow! Of all the things, I mean, I get it with my family and people I like, but you're talking about the people that have hurt me, that have offended me, and I'm to protect their reputation? Yeah, that's what this is saying. It's what Paul was getting at here in the Corinthian church. They're attacking each other. They're taking each other to court. They're doing these things. Did they take each other to court because there was no reason? No, probably not. There probably was a reason. And he's saying, you know what? You need to forgive. You need to let it go. You protect each other. And you protect and defend the character of others within the limits of truth. If you go back to the previous verse, it rejoices in the truth, and we talked about that. You know, there's a time when we do have to be honest. And we just have to, you know, that's where we confront a brother or sister. So we protect the reputation of someone else, and we need to do that within the structure of truth. Okay? There comes a time, for example, where if somebody would want to serve in the nursery, and we know there has been a situation where they have abused someone. Okay? So how do we approach that? The leadership might know. And so what happens is people, a lot of times, just so you know, if somebody wants to volunteer or serve, then they fill out a request. We do a background check. It's part of what we do. Now, say something is revealed in that background check. Do we come up to the pulpit and say, oh, by the way, Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so had something on his background check and we can't have them serve? Well, no. That's not love. Love would be looking at that and saying, you know what, we can't let that person serve. We need to communicate that to them. But we don't need to tell the whole body. We're just not going to let them serve. And we're going to watch what's going on. See what I'm saying? It's a picture of that. That we address it. We protect a person's reputation within truth. And that's a picture that we see here of what Paul is calling the Corinthians to. What God has done for us. Because we're all guilty. It covers others' sin and faults, first of all, by forgiving. First of all, by forgiving. That person that has hurt you, that has offended you, we cover their sin, first of all, by forgiving. Why? Because we forgive as Christ has forgiven us. So it starts out that way, that we let that go. Lord, I forgive you, or I forgive them. And we forgive them first. And then what we do is we don't broadcast their shortcomings to others. Or this. This is a hard one. It's a hard one to receive sometimes. Or to run others down with jokes and sarcasm. You know, we won't say what happened, but we'll give hints. I wouldn't trust them. Well, what do you mean? Oh, just a lot of things. You know what I'm saying. Love covers another's sin. Take a look at God's word. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 11. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Isn't that what you desire? That's what I desire. Wow. What joy-filled life, Christ-centered life that is right there. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Remember what it said about who Christ was and what he did? He was reviled and did not revile. He's saying, you know what? Be like Jesus. Then it goes on. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Wow. And this is a prayer that I have to pray because I have a problem with my tongue. It's easy for me to default to sin with my tongue. I think everybody, it's just a struggle for all people, all believers. Psalm 141. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. God, would you do that, please? Would you do that? That's what this is a picture of what this is talking about here. And finally in Colossians 3:13, bearing, now this is similar to the word endure at the end of 1 Corinthians 13:7, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So as God is loving us in this way, as he is loving us, and he's saying, you know what, your sins are behind you. Forgiven. He brings them up for us to repent, and then they're done. And he doesn't bring them back up. He lets them go. I would say this, if we're continually bringing up offenses that other people have done against us, whether it be our spouse or our parents or our children or whoever, I would ask you this question. Have you really forgiven them? Have you really forgiven them? Is there something deeper here? Because you don't let this thing go. You're like a dog on a bone. You keep bringing it up over and over. And you said, I forgive you. Did you? Because love covers the sin of another. It doesn't keep bringing it back up and reminding them. And I'm so grateful that God doesn't do that in my life. That he doesn't keep bringing it up. As I've said in the past, there are many times that I have been sorry that I spoke. There are few times that I was sorry that I didn't speak. Lord, put a guard over my mouth. I want sweet things to come out of this mouth. I love this picture of the Lord's love towards us. I love this picture. I'm so grateful, this unconditional love that is reflected here in this little section of Scripture, that the Lord doesn't remind us of our past sin or broadcast our sin to the world. I'm so grateful. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that if God really just opened up everything to everyone to see and you, whoa! Lord, I'm glad. I praise you that you see it and you deal with it. But then you let it go. You let it go. As far as the east is from the west. Doesn't forget it, but it's paid for. It doesn't keep reminding us. But instead of broadcasting our sin, he proclaims to you and I who we are in Christ. That's what he does. He proclaims, you know what? You are forgiven. You are forgiven. That's who you are. You are forgiven. And he proclaims, because of Christ, you are redeemed. That's who you are. That's who you are. You're redeemed. And he proclaims, you are loved. You are incredibly loved by this God that was proclaimed in this video. That same God who is sovereign over all things, knows all the details of your life, knows everything, and yet you are loved by him unconditionally because of the blood of Jesus. And he looks at you and he sees that, oh, you are my child. I rejoice over you. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are loved. You are accepted. You are accepted. You are accepted. That's what God proclaims. He doesn't drag up all the old stuff in the past. He proclaims, guess what? You're redeemed. I love you. Here's an area you sin. You know, repent. And we do. And he said, great, let's go. That's our God. And as he does that in our lives, he's saying, this is the example of how I want you to be towards each other. I want you to cover sin of another. Address it when it needs to, but to protect the reputation of the other. Not to put people down. That's what God does for us. He proclaims this. That's Christ-like love. That's Christ-like love. And can you imagine if that, just if it, you know, as I was going through all these different areas of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, I thought, what if just one area, we could master here at La Crescent Free? Wouldn't that be a sweet body? And yet God, in His grace and in His mercy, because the Spirit of God dwells with us, He can work all of them in us. And this is one of those, that we would not speak ill of each other ever. We would address things. We would let love cover a multitude of sins. We would still approach sin. But we let love cover a multitude of sins, of faults, of weaknesses. Now, boy, that preacher goes long. That's a sweet picture of our Savior towards us. The love that sees other Christians through the lens of the gospel. We see each other as in Christ. As in Christ. And we look and we say, you know what? That's my brother in Christ. My sister in Christ. You know what? Yeah, they hurt me, but here's the truth. They're forgiven. They're redeemed. They're loved. They're accepted. They're my brother and sister in Christ. I'm going to spend eternity with them. And now I protect their reputation. And only the Spirit of God can enable us to do this, because we're talking about people that have hurt us. Only the Spirit of God can do that. And He wants to do that so that His name would be glorified. That this body would love each other like that. And as we read in Scripture, the world would come in and say, look at how they love one another. Look at how they love one another. I mean, they're protecting each other. They got each other's backs. What a sweet, sweet body. And that's what we desire. That God would continue to mold us and shape us into the image of Christ as individuals and as a body. That we would love the way this section of Scripture talks about. And that's one way that God will display His love towards us, in a way that we can display Christ-like love to others as a witness for us in this body and to the world out there that's lost and dying and needs to hear the gospel. So, by God's grace, see this image of love that God has towards us. And He says, now, because I have loved you in this way, I love you in this way. Love each other like this. And that will glorify me. That will bring me praise and honor. That's what God wants us. To depend upon Him to do that work. And then as He does that work, He will receive the glory. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we see this picture of love covering a multitude of sins. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that paid the price for all our sins. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, Lord, that in our battles with sin, as we repent, you don't badger us, you don't keep bringing it back up. Thank you, Lord, that this unconditional love is there. And Lord, as you're working this in our lives, help us to apply these truths to our relationships with each other. God, I know in this world it's so easy to condemn. So we ask today that you would help us to live like this so you would be glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' beautiful name. And all God's people said, let's stand and worship.